Okay, you're right to report back? Thank you. As determined by the Brigadier Council in March 2019, all ordinary, special and annual general meetings of council are to be audio recorded and a link will be made available on the Brigadier Council website where the public can listen to the audio recordings of a previous council meeting. In accordance with the Local Government Act 1993 and Regulation 33 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, these audio files will be retained for council for at least 6 months and made available for listening online within 7 days of the scheduled meeting. The written minutes of a meeting, once confirmed, prevail over the audio recordings of the meeting, and a transcript of the recording will not be prepared. So good morning, everybody. I'd like to declare the meeting open. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we work and live, the Palawa people of this land, Tasmania, and recognise their continuing connection to the land, skies and waters, and we pay respects to the elders past and present. We have in attendance, we have one apology, which is Councillor Gary Barnes. We have no leave of absence, and we do have our staff in attendance. So we'll move straight into 23.2.1, which is public question time. Do we have any questions from the public, please? I'll go to Rosina. Would you like to come forward, please, Rosina?
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
As per my email last week regarding just an update, our St Helens Online Access Centre is just requesting an update on the extract from the minutes of the March meeting regarding the proposed transitional model to fit the Breaker Day community as well as the St Helens Online Access Centre. Given your meeting with the Minister, Roger Jayanch, in February, we are just seeking an update on that, and if there's any progress on that or any information you'd like to share with us, or if we can be of any assistance regarding financials or data statistics available to you to help you with your proposal in terms of the transitional model.
Thank you very much. And that's been forwarded, so you'll get
yes,
a response
it has. I said
in
it
seven
last
working days. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you,
Mayor. Any other further questions without notice? Councillor Wright.
I have two questions. Our first question, Wendy Fowler from St Mary's has asked, can Council supply a PA system for the St Mary's Town Hall to aid in the facilitation of local meetings and events? Example would be the most recent meeting regarding the medical situation in St Mary's, with a large number of attendees being unable to hear what was being said by both visiting speakers and locals alike. Also, other gatherings in the past, you know, such as the Candidates Forum, that sort of thing, it's quite difficult for people to hear. So she has requested that we look at that. Second question is from Janine Sweet of Scamander. Janine asks, is there any plan for upgrading the existing dirt car park at the side of the old Scamander Bridge where there is now a well-used boat ramp? Small cars and small vehicles have difficulty traversing due to the large number of potholes and rough surface, and the noise factor is quite high for people who live close to the car park area because of, you know, small boats bouncing around on the potholed surface.
Thank you very much.
That has been forwarded through.
Thank you. Do we have any further questions without notice? Councillor Johnston.
Hello. Thank you. This was actually meant to be presented at the August meeting. However, I wasn't here because I didn't want to share the love of my very bad flu that I had. So apologies to this person for not being able to get it to the August meeting. It's Joe Trevelyan. I'm asking this question on behalf of Joe Trevelyan of Falmouth. So she says, could you please ask this question at the council meeting, August council meeting? Firstly, I want to thank the council for their answer to my question to the July meeting. I note that there are many collaborative efforts with other councils and organisations planned, and many decisions need to take global warming into account. As a local resident, I'm very keen to know what measurable steps have been taken so far in these directions. In other words, what actually has been done, or what has actually been done. My question is, Could Council please outline what measurable changes relating to residents' welfare, environmental protection and mitigation of global warming, e.g. more street trees to keep pavements cool in summer, have been taken to implement these collaborations and policies? As predicted, July has been the hottest month ever recorded and the need for action on climate change increased. The UN Secretary, General Antonio Guterres, has called the time we are now entering global boiling. This may sound like hyperbole, but it is actually a call for desperation for immediate action. We can't do the work of the federal government, we can't do the work of international governments and organisations, but we can make Breakaday as safe as possible and be a leader amongst local governments. As a ratepayer, this is what I expect my council to do in these unprecedented times. I respectfully ask councillors, when will they consider declaring a climate emergency to underpin this process? Thank you, and then that's to me. Thank you for bringing this question to the Breakaday Council. Yours sincerely, Joe Trevallon.
Thank you very much for that, Councillor Johnson. If you could please email that to Molly and to Beck.
Thank you.
Any other questions without notice? Councillor Drummond.
Thank you, Mayor. Through the mail, I have one question to ask from Barbara Longley of St Mary's. I'm grateful to Council and the Mayor for the help today to the Mayor's support in keeping the hospital open. But what can Council do now to support OCA or another provider with housing for their staff or other supports for a new GP practice in St Mary's?
If you would just forward that on as well, thank you. Thank you very much. Any other questions without notice? If we have no further questions without notice from the public question time, we shall proceed on to 23.0, declaration of interest of a councillor or close associate. We have none. 23.4.1 is the confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting 21st of August. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any comments to the minutes? Okay, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 23.5.0 is the council workshop, which was held since the 21st of August for your information. 23.6.0 is the planning authority, and pursuant to section 25 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulation 2015, the Mayor has informed the Council that it's now acting as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Johnson, seconded Councillor Carter. All in favour? Carried unanimous. We are now acting as a planning authority. 23.6.1 is DA 130-23, Residential and Visitor Accommodation. Alex, would you like to take us through this planning approval, please?
Certainly. All right, so DA 130 of 2023, so the applicant is seeking approval for the development of a two-bedroom single dwelling and in addition to associated carport and the construction of a one-bedroom visitor accommodation for the subject site at Fish Place. The proposed development will be serviced by an existing crossover for access purposes, a new internal gravel driveway, and is intended to be serviced by existing reticulated services. This particular application was discretionary on six items, including 10.4.2 setbacks and building envelope for all dwellings, and 10.4.6 privacy for all dwellings. It was also had discretionaries in the E6 car parking and sustainable transport code, in E6.6.1 car parking numbers, and development standards E6.7.2 design layout of car parking. The application was also discretionary on the E8 biodiversity code, given that removal of a tree is proposed. And the application was also discretionary on Planning Directive number 6 with regards to visitor accommodation. During the advertising period between the 22nd of July and the 4th of August, this application received two representations before the closing date. The first representation broadly had concerns with misrepresentation shown in the site plans, largely to do with location of existing structures on adjoining properties, and also questioned the visual window shown in the yellow shading for the adjoining property at 2 Karaka Close. The representative had concerns about the two fireplaces proposed with regards to amenity, pollution and also health concerns. They also had issues with the bin storage area, given the potential odours that may arise, and the also privacy concerns about the outdoor bath, which adjoins... will be associated with the visitor accommodation. Question the setback of the proposed structures, why they were sited so close to the front boundary, and had potential concerns about if solar panels were proposed to be installed. Representation two was largely focused on that they... believe that visitor accommodation wasn't compatible with the surrounding area, and were of the opinion that the design of the visitor accommodation was like what a holiday unit in a caravan park or a holiday park, and similar to representation one, had concerns about privacy with regards to the outdoor bath. And noted that no scheme response was provided against the Tasmanian planning scheme codes listed in their representations. In consideration of the assessment completed in the report and the responses provided against the representations, my recommendation is for approval of this application.
Thank you very much for that, Alex. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, can I have a seconder? Councillor Chappell. Councillor Fever, would you like to speak to the proposal, please?
I just support the officer's recommendation, noting that there are 8 conditions and there's 3 pieces of advice which I'm sure will be taken into account.
Thank you, Councillor Chappell. I'll open it up for discussion. We've got anyone who would like to speak against the officer's recommendation? If we have nobody, we have no further comments. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 23.6.2 is DA 131-23, change of use, existing dwelling to visitor accommodation. Deb, would you like to talk us through this one, please?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So DA 131 of 2023 is at 114 Gardens Road in the Gardens. The site has a land area of approximately 2.7 hectares. This application was assessed under the interim scheme and it's within the environmental living zone. The site's had previous development approvals associated with it. And out of these DAs, which included approval for a dwelling and a shed, only the shed was constructed. A subsequent DA then requested a change. The shed had amenities. A subsequent DA then requested a change of use from the shed to visitor accommodation. To a dwelling. So this application is to change the residential use of the existing structure on site to visitor accommodation, and to build a new dwelling on site as well as a new outbuilding. So this permit has also addressed some of the clearing that has occurred on site. This clearing has occurred through previous landowners. The clearing is mainly associated with the existing approvals providing the fire protection areas. There was an additional area of clearing in the northeast corner of the site, which has been addressed through a condition and advice on the permit. The application had one representation, and this representation was in relation to the clearing that has occurred on site. And so we've had a look at that. We've conducted a site inspection and we've had discussions with the current landowner who hasn't undertaken any of this clearing himself. So approval is recommended with 18 conditions, and some of these conditions are specific to the site.
Thank you very much. And anybody would like to move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Fever. Councillor Chappell, would you like to comment on this, as there is quite a lot of, obviously, a lot of conditions on this one,
but
it looks like everything has been addressed.
I fully support the recommendation on this. There are 18 conditions here, and I believe it's a really good outcome with the owners looking to replace the vegetation that was removed by previous owners, so I do think that this will end up being a much better project than what it is, so I fully support it.
Councillor Fever, do you like to make any comments to this, please?
My comments are much the same as Councillor Chappell's. I do note from the workshop when this was presented that the present owner wasn't responsible for the clearing, so they've done everything right.
Have we got anybody who'd like to speak against this proposal or a question, Councillor Wright?
Unless I've got it wrong, there was mention of flora fauna report not having been done with this application, and stated that it was done with the previous application. It concerns me that. Okay, if you have a development application previously was approved, mm-hmm. they didn't build, there's a time limit on that approval of a development application. So why is there not a time limit on what is still appropriate with a previous flora fauna report and reports of that nature? Because things do change.
Yes, so the previous application that was approved and the flora and fauna report was prepared in association with that was in relation to the land clearing for the development, and the development achieved substantial commencement by constructing the shed at the time, so the permit was in place. This development application actually required no clearing of vegetation, and so E8, the biodiversity code, was not enacted, because that code actually relates to the clearing of either priority habitat or native vegetation. This application requires no clearing of vegetation, and so a report was not requested and the code was not applied. However, it was addressed still, yes. Yeah.
Do we have any other questions, or Councillor Johnston?
Well, this is more a comment, because there are all these conditions. And I'd just like to thank Deb actually for getting out there and dealing with the representations, in particular around getting the vegetation in the northeast or whatever corner done. So I'd like to thank you for getting that done. Thank you.
Councillor Drummond.
Through the Mayor, if I may. I just have a question as to how, and I think I've asked this before, when we put these conditions in place, what is the follow-up process for that to ensure that they're being complied with? That's something that, because we've talked about, and I do thank you, Deb, for the work you put in. We've talked previously about applications that we've heard about with vegetation occurring, and then we found maybe 6 or 7 or 8 years later that vegetation hasn't occurred. So I'm just wondering what the processes are to ensure that the conditions are actually, and the advice are actually complied with, Deb.
Yes, certainly. We do have a compliance section, but also we do have within our internal programs to put bring-ups on these properties, and we will certainly put a bring-up on this one for probably around 12 months just to see how they're progressing, because it isn't a case of they're having to go out and landscape it now. No, that's right. It'll probably be a mixture of natural and purposeful regeneration. So, you know, we can maybe put a bring up in 12 months to see the outcome of it, but we could possibly put one a little bit earlier to see how they're thinking of progressing that. Yeah.
Because that is going to be a big job, I think, and it's nice to know that there's a process in place of following that up, basically.
Yeah.
In front of the court being so old, I'm quite sure that lots of things have happened on the land since then, and it looks like there's going to be a lot more happening.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much. We have no further questions, no comments. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 23.6.3 is DA15423, residential construction of a shed with amenities. Alex, now we're playing musical chairs. Would you like to talk through this one, please, Alex?
Yep, certainly. So the applicant is seeking the approval for the development of a shed with amenities for the subject site, 11 Seabreeze Court, Beaumaris. Proposed development will be serviced by an existing crossover, provision of a new internal gravel driveway and installation of a new on-site wastewater system, as the subject site does not have connection to reticulated services. All stormwater generated by the roofed area of the proposed shed will be directed into two 10,000-litre tanks. This application was discretionary on one item, and that being 14.4.1, building design and siting, given that the proposed shed exceeds a floor area of 81 metres squared and that it has a building height higher than 5 metres. So the during the advertising period from the 2nd of August to the 15th of August, one representation was received on time. This representation outlined some of the following concerns. So they noted a height restriction covenant in the schedule of easements associated with the subdivision of Seabreeze Court. They further noted that existing structures in Seabreeze Court have been built in accordance with the covenants for that particular area, and note that these covenants were important for ensuring amenity of residents. The representor was also of the understanding that the shed with amenities is intended to have a caravan in it and the owner residing in the caravan for an unspecified time, but acknowledged the intent of the owner to build a future dwelling. They also note the building height of the proposed shed exceeding 6 metres. They also have concerns about how approval can be granted for the structure given the intent for the owner to reside in the caravan. And they also note with regards to the discretionary item that the proposed shed will impact upon their amenity in terms of view and also potential overshadowing impacts on an adjoining property. We also received one representation after the closing date of the advertising period, and their overall concerns were similar to the first representation, and accordingly, my response was the same. With consideration given to the assessment and my responses to the representation, my recommendation is for approval. Subject to the conditions.
Thank you very much, Alex. Can I have somebody who wants to move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright, seconded. Councillor Chappell. Councillor Wright, you'd like to speak to this? Councillor Chappell?
No, I'm fairly happy with the recommendations, and you did answer my question there, Alex, whether they had mentioned as part of the process whether they were actually going to build later on. So that was just one question that I had, so thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anybody who would like to speak against or question this application? Councillor Carr.
Not against, it's a question. But just the acceptable solutions, the 5 metre height from the 81 metre square bridge. It seems to me there's an extreme deviation from that in terms of over 6 metres and 180 something. Can you comment on that in terms of the covenant and the appropriateness of that scale?
Yeah. Certainly. So with regards to the covenant, as we're all aware, we can't give regard to covenants with the assessment of an application. But with regards to the size of the shed, so as you've noted, it wasn't able to meet the acceptable solution requirement. So we've so assessment against the performance-based criteria has been assessed, and in my assessment, based on the size of the property, the siting of the shed, and given the topography of the site, my assessment was that it would have a fairly minimal impact on adjoining properties.
So. Councillor Fever.
It's probably a lack of knowledge on my behalf, but I just wonder why we accept late representations, and if someone could explain that, because I thought with this being such a low legal process, why do late representations come into play?
John, this one would be over to you.
Three, Mr. Mayor.
Hand bottle.
Thank you. It's not a hospital pass. So really, just as part of transparency with the process, and we do note that there is a disallowed representation. So accordingly, it doesn't have the rights that a formal representation does have regarding appeal rights, etc., down the track. So yeah. We still do it for completeness because that's the way we operate. But just down the track.
Yeah, I think it's a just good policy to accept. It might not have the weight because it's late, but at least we've listened. If we have any other questions? If not, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried. Against? Councillor Carter and Councillor Drummond. Against. 23.6.4 is DA 27622, residential construction of the dwelling, additions and alterations, garage, deck and additional crossover. Alex, would you like to take us through this one, please?
Certainly. This application was brought forth in the July council meeting, but due to requests for informal mediation meeting to occur, it has been delayed till this meeting. Just to give a run through of this one again, the applicant is seeking approval for the development of dwelling additions, alterations, garage deck and additional crossover for the residential purposes on the subject site, 5 Bayview Avenue, Billong Bay. The submitted plans demonstrate that the development will be serviced by the provision of an internal driveway in conjunction with an additional crossover and the installation of an aerated wastewater treatment system. Stormwater generated by the roofed areas of the dwelling addition will be directed into three 14,000 litre tanks. And subsequent overflow being disposed to the curb. The fourth water tank located adjacent to the existing dwelling will be primarily for overflow from the driveway, and any overflow from that tank will be disposed into a dispersion trench. This application was discretionary on 10 items. Within the low-density residential zone, the E4 road and rail asset Road and Railway Assets Code, the E8 Biodiversity Code and the E16 On-Site Wastewater Code. During the advertising period from the 6th of May to the 19th of May, four representations were received. And the first representation, just to summarise, had concerns with that the development was unable to satisfy the acceptable solution requirements for the site setbacks. As well as the water tanks unable to satisfy those setbacks, potential amenity and privacy concerns with regards to the window included in the ensuite of the dwelling addition, and also the potential for overlooking into the adjoining property. A potential overshadowing impacts that the dwelling addition may cause on the adjoining property. Comments about whether the entirety of the western side boundary, whether vegetation removal has to occur for the stormwater infrastructure, and question the purpose of the brick wall at the end of the balcony. at the northern end of the structure for the proposed deck. The next three representations broadly dealt with stormwater and wastewater concerns. Now, with regards to the informal mediation that occurred, a meeting took place between the applicant, the representor, and the owners of the subject site on the 11th of August at 2 p.m. And concluded at approximately 2:30. And the discussion included some of the key points. So location of the tanks being less than 3 metres from the side boundary and the scheme response provided for the clause 12.4.1.5 for inside setbacks from the interim planning scheme. General commentary about the design of the addition, which was largely focused on the inclusion of vertical windows for the ensuite rather than being consistent with the laundry and having horizontal windows. Vegetation removal, noise concerns regarding the proposed stormwater system, concerns and questions about the overshadowing the proposed development may have on the adjoining property. Just like to note, it was confirmed to the representor that if they still have issues or concerns, that appealing this application to address those concerns is a course of action they can pursue if desired. The representor was informed that the application will remain as originally recommended, that is with approval for conditions. They were also advised for their rights to appeal Council's decision to TASCAT in the instance where the recommendation is approved by Council. Equally, the applicants were advised of their right to appeal Council's decision to TASCAT in the event that the recommendation is refused by Council. And at the conclusion of the informal meeting, no resolution to the matters discussed could be resolved, and as such, no design changes were made. My recommendation for approval still remains from previous meeting.
Thank you very much for that, Alex, for the detail that you've gone through there. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Fever, seconded. Councillor Oldham, Councillor Fever, would you like to speak to this?
Yes, to support the officer's recommendation. This hasn't been an easy application. I note the 16 conditions and the two pieces of advice. I acknowledge and was pleased that an attempt was made for informal mediation, even though that didn't seem to get too far, but I was pleased that that took place.
Thank you very much. Councillor Oldham, would you like to speak?
I concur with Barry, Councillor Fever's words.
Thank you very much, Councillor Oldham. We've got anyone who'd like to speak against the officer's recommendation or ask questions to the officer?
Questions.
Councillor Carter.
I note the variation in terms of the distance from the block next door, and I'm just wondering, I think I read correctly that there's one tree removed, but in the development of the stormwater system, would it be true that the other vegetation might disappear, and is there an expectation that that will be replaced just to provide some privacy and screening?
So the applicant during that meeting confirmed to the representor that potential removal of tree roots might be required, but at this stage that one tree that's been shown on the site plan is only intended for removal. Removal of environmental weeds along that boundary is proposed as well, but besides that, that's all.
Any further questions, Councillor Chappell?
Not a question as such, just a comment really. I struggle with this application as well. It was really heavy on discretions, and initially there seemed to be some information that was lacking. However, I now, you know, the planners have indicated, and we asked at workshop whether that information had been supplied, which it had. So I support their recommendation. However, I am disappointed that there was no progress with the mediation process that we offered at all. And I do support the planners in saying and informing both parties that, you know, if they're not satisfied, that they should go through to TASCAT and for another mediation process to hopefully try and address some of their concerns either way. So I do support that.
Thank you. Do we have any further comments on this application? If we have no further comments, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Councillor Fever, Councillor Oldham, Councillor Chappell, and myself. Against? That is 4-4. There is no decision being made.
So, Mr. Mayor, so there's no decision being made. Do we have a motion to refuse it, and on what grounds?
From the people who have voted against, if we got another motion that we're going to put forward, and please name the planning grounds that you're actually rejecting this application on. Very quiet.
I understand that. I'm just trying to explain myself. Sorry,
Councillor Carter. We're not explaining ourselves and making statements. I really do need another motion to come forward to be able to be substantiated where the errors are in the planning scheme or why you are not agreeing with the officer. And please put that forward.
I'll amend my vote, then I'll vote for it.
Through, Mr. Mayor, we can't just amend the vote. So we'll have to take another motion.
Okay, we need another motion to come forward.
Just to bring that same one forward.
John would have to get advice on whether we can bring forward the same motion. I don't think you can.
No, it's been lost.
It wasn't lost, so we can't use the same motion.
I'm not sure as to what type of new motion that you need. I'm happy to bring something forward to get the discussion happening again, but I'm not quite sure what wording you actually need me to do. So.
I want to bring forward a motion to refuse. That will create a debate.
And if we bring forward a motion to refuse, we need to know on what planning grounds you are refusing the motion on.
Mr. Mayor, Council hasn't made a decision, so in that situation, then we have delegations in place and they'll have to be dealt with in accordance with the delegation. We've already had an extension of 2 months from the applicant to enable this to occur. So, unfortunately, Mr. Mayor, that's the situation we're in.
Okay. Finished. The Mayor has advised the Council has now concluded its meeting as a planning authority under Section 25 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. All in favour? Carried. Councillor Carter, you?
Sorry.
Carried unanimous. Thank you. is Council meeting actions for your information, unless anybody has got something they'd like to bring forward. Is there anything there that any councillors would like further information on or request? If not, we'll move on to 23.17.3, which is the Fingal housing petition and the council responses there. John, do we need to receive that officially?
And it comes forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, with this particular one, at the last council meeting, we received the petition, even though it was not a valid petition. And following the receipt of that petition, council officers have been through and addressed the key points within the petition there. So we've actually effectively treated it as a valid petition and placed it back on the public record. And in terms of next steps from here, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that council write to residents and property owners in Fingal, providing a response to the content of the petition which was received. So not just to the people, the petitioners, but to everyone in Fingal.
Okay, can I have somebody move that we've received the officer's recommendation? We'll move it first. Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Johnston. Councillor Drummond.
I just wanted to clarify. numbers that were on the petition and the electoral roll account, that would make it redundant.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's just around the numbers, but as councillors that have been here for a while are aware that even though it's there, we still use the process to go through.
So. Unless that is right into the residence,
it's right
into the select
committee. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's just a legal petition is 5% or a minimum 1,000 registered voters. 23.9.0. Oh, hang on, I didn't take that one to the vote. All in favour?
Please.
Carried unanimous, thank you. 23.9.0, notice of motions are nil. 23.10.0, questions on notice are nil. 23.11.0, councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Wright.
I have a question here. I've been approached by a number of concerned residents with similar queries as follows. Regarding the situation with St Mary's Health Centre. What was the process involved with the engagement of Ochre Medical to take over the St Mary's Hospital? Was there a tender process? If not, why not? If so, which other companies were invited to make a tender submission? Also, if so, where was it advertised and what was the lead-in time for applications to be presented? have any other medical companies similar to Ochre shown an interest in taking over the contract? And if there hasn't been a process of tender, is this something that council should ask be investigated?
Thank you very much for that, Councillor Wright. But as you're aware, every single question you just asked, there is state
it's,
government.
It is a question, yes. I know.
It is, but it's every one of those in that question breakdown is state government.
I know, but can we forward that on ask that question?
You'll get a response in 7 working days. Any other questions from anybody without notice, please? Okay, 23.12.1 is the Mayor's communications for period ending 18th of September. 23.12.2 is Councillors' reports for period ending 18th of September 2023. St Helens District Chamber of Commerce, Councillor Chappell.
Yes, just finding my notes here, sorry. There will be a reconvened AGM. It's been deferred to the 26th of September due to the absence of nominations for the Executive Committee. So that'll be happening on the 26th of September.
Thank you very much, Councillor Chappell. NRM Special Committee, Councillor Drummond.
I can report back on that because...
Thank you, Councillor Johnston.
On your behalf.
Thank you.
It was held on Tuesday. We had a meeting and a field trip on the 5th of September. Excellent field trip. I don't know where our NRM man is, but everyone was in attendance. So we went down to Scamander Rivermouth and looked at, you know, we've got the money that's coming in to the council just to look at that. So we went through that. That was excellent. So it gave us a bit of a feel of what was going on. We also just, I think we discussed that a lot, and then we now have a new member, an Aboriginal community representative, came along and has agreed to actually stay on the committee with us, which is great. And her name is, sorry, I've got it here, and I should put my glasses on so I know. Here it is. Oh, sorry about this.
I'm going to say
face.
Say it
louder. A Hardy. So it was a really great meeting, and we've got, you know, we're proceeding really well in that committee. So
excellent.
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you very much for that, Councillor Johnston. East Coast Tourism, Councillor Fever.
Rebecca Roll, right to Southway. The East Coast Tourism AGM will be held at Tribunna on September the 28th. It's always a big day with the meeting and then the AGM. Jen Fry, who was the chairperson, has been offered a renewal of her tenure and has accepted. The CEO of East Coast Tourism met with the general manager of Telstra for Tasmania and South Australia recently, and there was some good news there concerning the upgrades from 4 to 5G, particularly along the coast. The Telstra executive team will be visiting the area November the 20th to the 24th, and they'll be here to conduct a community get-together and launch the Pine Ganna Gulls Country installation upgrade. They're also going to fast track the black spots along the east coast, for instance in our area, Diana's Basin and Bay Morris, with the intent that within probably 12 months' time, 96% of the Great Eastern Drive will have suitable coverage.
Thank you very much, Councillor Fever. Also, Mental Health Action Group, anything happening, Barry?
I've had some preliminary discussions with Gary, and we'll meet with him at some stage in his capacity as, I guess, the CEO of the Neighbourhood House at the moment to determine where we go forward with mental health.
Thank you very much. Disability Access Committee, Councillor Drummond.
I don't have anything to say, I wasn't present. However, can I ask that the name is changed to reflect the decision of council that we now appointed the Access and Inclusion Advisory Committee, please?
No worries at all.
Thank you.
That will be noted. Biofires Master Plan, which is really a non-event at the moment, Councillor Carter.
It is a non-event, but I'm pleased that there's been some conversation with the Minister, which I'm sure we'll hear about. So, thank you.
Certainly are. Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. OK, 23.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. Rao, would you like to come forward?
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, councillors.
Good morning, Rao. Obviously, there's a little bit to report there.
Certainly is, Mayor. The departmental report for the month outlines a couple of key components there. If councillors would like any information, please feel free to ask some questions.
Can I get somebody first to move that the report be received? Councillor Drummond, seconded Councillor Lefevre. Any questions, please, to Rao on the Corporate Services Department report? Councillor Drummond.
Not a question, just a comment that in my absence it's really good to see the interest rates continuing to rise.
They're
getting much better
return on that. Yeah, we are. Thanks, Councillor Drummond. Yeah, it's been a while. We are seeing interest rates starting to taper off a little bit, I have to say, Mayor, in the last recent investments we've made. They are starting to come back a little bit, so that's interesting in itself.
And when I left, that's quite a dramatic change, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
Any further questions to Raoul on this? If not, I'm going to take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 23.13.2, the monthly financial report. Rao, would you like to comment on this and take us through any of it, mate?
Certainly, Mayor. So, councillors, you've got your monthly profit and loss statements, the balance sheet, statement of cash flows, and hopefully this month you can see the Capital Works report better.
Done well. Done well.
Oh, yes.
Great.
Took a bit of doing, but we got you there.
It's only taken 8 months. So, as you can see, there's notes that explain any major variations there for you to have a look at. I think we're tracking very well at this stage yet again. And really, unless councillors want specific line item information, it's fairly self-explanatory.
Thank you very much, Raoul. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Carter. Any questions on the monthly financials? Councillor Drummond.
It's not really about the financials, it's just about the implementation of some of the financials. We've got the live stream lodged there. Is there any movement forward on that?
I spoke to the contact group this morning. The equipment they're waiting on the cameras to arrive, and they're working towards probably late October install and training.
Any other questions to Raoul on this? If not, I'm going to take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 23.13.3, the Visitor Information Centre report. Thanks, Raoul.
So, Mayor and councillors, again, we've had the biggest numbers ever during the month as far as visitors go. The staff are doing a great job there. Our stock levels as far as what we've got to sell there are also really high, and they're selling very well. I can only just pass on my thanks and congratulations to the staff at the VIC and the History Room, and note that Kim, the curator at the History Room, is on a period of leave.
Can I have somebody move the report to be received? Councillor Oldham and seconded Councillor Fever. Any questions or comments? Councillor Drummond.
Just a comment.
Councillor Drummond, I can pass on while you've been away. We've broken the record every month. So
you'll have to go away more often, Councillor Drummond. Councillor Johnson.
That's true. I mean, obviously, this is, for me, it's amazing because sometimes when I go to sit behind the desk, there's a lot of people around at this sort of period of time, and to see how much it's being used. You know, because really it's been a little bit dead, you know, St Helens. There hasn't been lots of people around. So, you know, go us. Go to the information centre. I mean, it's really, yeah.
Doing a great job.
Yeah.
It does really prove that digital is not taking over.
And that face-to-face stuff, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think, I mean, just building on that through you, Mayor, what it does show is that people... They may use digital to a certain extent, but their capacity to come in and actually have a face-to-face discussion is actually a really important add-on.
Value of the face-to-face, yeah. No. Okay, we've got no comments or any questions. I'll take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you very much. 23.13.4 is the review of the council delegations and... Angela, would you like to take us through these delegations, please?
As discussed at the workshop, we've recently had a full review of our delegations done, but we were aware that it was the Weed Management Act had been repealed, so there'd be new legislation coming for that. And so, hence, I've just brought this section forward rather than the full document again. With the Weed Management Act, the new Biosecurity Act and regulations, and there was also some amendments to LUPA and the Trafficked Act. The LUPA ones were all in relation to the LPS, so it was just providing some more delegation.
Thanks very much, Anne. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Johnson, second to Councillor Fever. Any questions to Angela on this? All been discussed very thoroughly, no doubt, at the workshop, so well done. We'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 23.14.1 is the Works and Infrastructure Report. Good morning, David. Would you like to take us through your report this morning, please?
Mayor and councillors. This report is just a summary of what's happened in the last month, plus gives a glimpse and indication of what's coming in the next month. And there's a lot of minor capital works being tidied up. The large one will be the bitumen servicing works tender, which is coming to council today for decision. There's that tender has got a lot of substantial works with road resealing for this financial year.
Thank you very much. Can I have somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to David on the report, please? Councillor Fever.
It's not a question, it's just something I should mention. I sent a note through saying about the vandalism to the jetties. Someone is continually targeting the ladder on each jetty, smashed it off at Parkside. The one at Kerwin's, they've come back two nights in a row, and there must be three or four blokes having to actually try and bend it, and they've bent it probably 15 or 20 degrees. So if any of us are driving past and at night time or whatever, we just need to keep an eye, get the police involved. So,
any other questions, please? Councillor Drummond.
We manage those on our road network. The issue.
Not on state roads. This is
on our road network. There's a substantial issue out there at the moment with gauze, and predominantly it's on private land ownership, and it's been an issue for some time. The landowners don't tend to do too much in that space. But where it impacts on our road reservation, we'll either slash it back and spray it. We also do Spanish Heath, where there's outbreaks of that.
Thank you.
But we don't do private land.
No, I understand. I think sometimes seeing doing that council land, it can actually inspire people to then sort of continue the process, but it is very difficult.
It's a substantial issue.
Any further questions to David on this?
Councillor
Johnston.
Yes, thank you. No, just on that, part of it for me is not actually knowing which is council land and which isn't. And it's quite confusing, that's all. I'm sure it's not for you, but in just that sort of in reaction to, you know, the fact it would be good if we are making sure the weeding as much as we can on council land. But there is this, it's really difficult. When we went and did the site visit, which bits were council, which bits were parks, you know. So, anyway, just a comment. Yeah.
No further. We'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. And 23.14.2, the Animal Control Report. David, been very active, been very busy. Operation normal.
Yeah, look, it's just a run-of-the-mill issues with dogs and more so dog owners. But there is just a minor typo there, and the stats are for 23, 24, not 22, 23. But I'll have that corrected next month.
Thank you, David. Can I have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Oldham, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions? If not, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Thanks very much for that part, David. 23.14.3 is the Open Spaces Grants Program, Round 1, and proposed projects. David, would you like to walk us through this one, please?
Thank you, Mayor. There's a current grant open called the Tasmanian Open Space Grant Program. It's run through LEGAT for state government. And at the last workshop, We workshopped two potential projects, one being the solar lighting on the multi-user foreshore track around Georges Bay, and that's from the end of O'Connor's Beach back to the bridge here, as well as the provision of outdoor gym equipment at Scamander Park, which was a previous decision of the council. This agenda report is being written in view of going for full funding under the program. Although since I wrote this report and had a closer look at the criterion, there's a 40% weighting on the criterion for contributions either from council as financial or in kind or other support. And anyway, beside that, the recommendation is currently to apply for funding for those two projects. Should council wish to consider taking up the option of making a contribution, I would be proposing that you may consider that. And it is a late change from workshop in the order of 25%.
Thank you very much, David. And thanks for that added information. Can I have somebody move the office recommendation, Councillor Fever and seconded Councillor Johnston? If we've got any questions or anything to David on this, Councillor Drummond.
Just a thought in regard to contribution from the council. I know when we've got the state fund in the same area, but there's been some discussion that we had to have that obligation for the equipment, and the land that council was donating was seen to be of value enough to counterbalance that requirement. I'm just wondering, in this case, would that be possible? Because this is council land that we're putting this equipment onto.
Free, Mr. Mayor. It depends. So
does it have to be new land, is it?
So in relation to the foreshore track, that's council lease. Might be our asset, but it's a lease. Depending on the Scamander one, if it is put in the park where the playground equipment is, I need to double check, but I think that is actually council land, whereas if it's between the bridges, that's Crown. So it would depend on whether there's something there. So
I just think that might be a way of giving over that
weight.
Yeah.
The grant guidelines do allow for making application for full funding It's just they've introduced a criterion, which is this weighting. But look, you may consider that, you may not, but you know, the option would be there that we do the installation, plus we put a case forward that we do the ongoing maintenance of these devices for the next 25 years. So there would be a cost associated with that.
Thank you very much, Dave, and they're both very good community assets. We have any further comments? If not, I'm going to take this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 23.14.4 is the LRCI program phase four. David, would you like to talk us into this one, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor and councillors. Council's got an allocation of $1.02 million for phase four projects, and that allocation is broken into two components. One for about $640,000, which is earmarked for roads and community infrastructure, and then the balance is for rural roads only. So based on that criterion, I've prepared a report with potential projects. These projects were workshopped with the council earlier on this month, and we did talk about these projects back in April, and from there the projects have been honed. So there's a whole list of projects which is well in excess of the funding application which is attached to this agenda report. But the projects that I'm recommending, I think, are the best out of the projects listed by which to allocate the funding and improve those assets.
Thank you very much for that, David. Any questions or concerns? Councillor Fever?
Not a question or a concern. I'm just really positive about it. So they're really important items, and there's also a good spread throughout the municipality, so well done.
Okay. Councillor Drummond?
I don't have to report that much. Just curious, sorry, if I may ask a question through the mayor. The Anson's Bay Road ceiling, I was still trying to get the federal government just to seal that road. I was trying to make it Route 1. And is that still an ongoing?
Three, Mr. Mayor. As Councillor Drummond might have seen in previous minutes, there's been some communication from the Chamber of Commerce, which we have responded to in that regard. It's still a project for Council to do that. However, there's a fair bit of work required in terms of homework, engineering design, assessment, the presentation that was received from Mr. Noakes, whilst it argued the case based around transport economics, there was a lack of information regarding financial impact and the ongoing financial costs to council into the longer term. So whilst it might look good on paper, it's a lot broader than just do a report from a transport economist.
David, would you like just to comment? Because this one is more to do with the other part of the ceiling.
Not in relation to adding to John, but it was just a closing statement on the allocation of funding to finish two projects that, because of the distribution of the funds, to try and spread it across the municipality to get, you know, all areas catered for. There are two projects, which is Anson's Bay Road Sealing and Alexander Street Rehab, that will require to finish all the works that are required some funding in 24-25. And that's in the recommendation. But I just wanted to let the council know that if you endorse that, then you're also committing funding in next year's budget for those two projects as well.
Thank you very much, David. Can I have somebody move? I don't think I did. Can somebody move? Councillor Johnston, the second, Councillor Drummond. We have any further comments, or I'll take this to the vote.
Can I just say thank you to our general
since Wednesday. So
Three, Mr. Mayor. I thought that was the situation. That's why I did the backtrack.
Going backwards, and I'm trying to get what's happening here. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. 23.14.5 is the waste transfer station tyre disposal charges. David.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and councillors. This agenda item is making a recommendation to increase the tyre disposal charges at the waste transfer station, as outlined here. The situation is that the Tyre Cycle, who is Tasmania's only tyre recycling company, they put up their charges in February for this financial year. We found out about it post-budget. And even though it's not materially a great variation that we would potentially result with increased charges, it is prudent to come to the council to request fee changes to counter those cost increases.
Thank you very much, David. Well said. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any discussion on this? I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carry unanimous. Thank you. Now, look, it's time for a quick cup of coffee. We might as well stop before we go into community services. So we'll have a quick 10 minutes.
What do you reckon for lunch?
No, I don't know where we're going. I'll just start again.